Meeting to order, please. Stephanie, would you call the roll and see if we've got a quorum? I think we do.
Astrid Bergson. Island Danovy. Susan Fowler. Dolores Henry.
Here.
Tom Moore. Judy O'Connor.
Here.
Julian Rappaport.
Here.
Ann Robin. Deborah Townsend.
Here. Thank you. That's one, two,
we have a quorum.
Three, four, five.
We have a
six.
Quorum.
We're fine. We're fine. Is there any citizen input at this point? Any public participation? Seeing none, we'll move ahead. Well, oh, sorry, I didn't see you. Would you give us your name and where you're from, and then tell us what you want to tell us?
Yeah. My name's Colin Holmes. I'm at 403 West Park Street in Urbana. And it's my first time here looking through some of the information in the packet, but I looked over your goals for, I think it's goals and objectives for 2013 through 2015. Mm-hmm. And I noticed information in there that you might have on serving people with mental health issues so that they don't, so that it reduces their recidivism. And I'm just thinking in terms of the budget that's been laid out for the state and so on, and wanted to ask if there's information I might be able to get on the successes in reducing recidivism, and also kind of a estimate on the next, when you put together the next set of goals for the 2016 through 18.
We have done that, and they'll be published soon. Mark, are they available now so he could see them?
We have, our annual report would have been in this evening's packet, but it was delayed due to some financial information that we need for the annual report. But when that comes out, that will, we already have approved our goals and objectives for FY15, but that will be included in there. And then planning for FY16, the draft plan would come out in September. And okay. And that would be for with goals, 3-year period of goals and objectives, annual objectives. So the objectives would be for FY16.
Okay.
So.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Colin. Is there information coming from the CCDDB tonight?
I just want to remind everyone that there is a joint study session at the start of the CCDDB meeting, which is focused on the new Workforce Innovation and Opportunities Act, and there'll be a presentation by Darlene Kleppel from RPC. Other than that, people, all of the Mental Health Board members are welcome to stay for that meeting.
Thank you. Any other citizen input?
Thank you. Can you hear me?
We'd like your name and.
Well, I know, but first,
can
you
hear
me?
We can hear you very well. Thank you.
All right.
Yes.
My name is Bobby Trist, and I live at 503 North Fair Street in Champaign, and I'm a licensed clinical social worker, current licensed, not currently working, and I've been working on the jail issue for over 3 years. So I haven't been to this meeting in probably over a year, but I'm concerned about the push to build a new jail facility with room for mentally ill when there isn't really an adequate place for the mentally ill in the community. So as Kalmanoff said, beds without bars. So I hope as you make your decisions, and I'm not up to date on where you are, that you keep that in mind and that we need a facility where people can be housed temporarily or a little longer, where they don't have to be put in jail because they're acting out on their mental illness. And this is a very serious deficit all over the country, as I've heard it said very, very often recently. The biggest mental health provider in this country is jails, our jails and prisons. So, thank you.
Thank you, Bob. Oh, thank you, Bobby. Well, we have some minutes that you've had a chance to read. I'm speaking to the board now, and I'd welcome a motion to approve them.
I move.
Thank you. Any additions or corrections at this point? Seeing none, please, if you agree, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Thank you. The minutes are accepted, approved. They always are. Stephanie does such a good job. Yeah, she does. Okay, I have a couple of things. I want to send kudos to Community Elements. It doesn't always happen that when an agency doesn't spend all the money that we've allotted for them, that they refund what they didn't use. But that's exactly what Community Elements has done. And we all appreciate that very much. It should happen with everybody, but I'm not sure that it does. And I want to say thank you very much, Sheila. The other thing is about liaisons. I still need three. I still need somebody for the Center for Youth and Family Services. Meets first Tuesday of the month at 1 p.m.
Deborah, I think we talked about this last month, and we don't need a liaison.
We don't need that one anymore. Thank you, Stephanie. It didn't get crossed off on this sheet. Children's Advocacy Center meets Thursday mornings at 9 o'clock, once a month. It's the fourth Thursday. I've been going to that for several years, and I really enjoy it, but I can't do it this time. So if you'll come up to me after the meeting and tell me you'd love to do that, and you could do it you could find room in your schedule, I'd very much appreciate that. And let's see, Races meets Thursday, the third Thursday at 6 p.m. And I would like very much to have somebody liaise with Races. So come up to me afterwards. Thank you. Those are my comments. Let's continue then. Peter, do you have comments?
Yeah, a couple things. Mm-hmm. I just want to let the board know that as the public participant mentioned, the issue of mental health and the criminal justice system and the impact on the jail is something that we are very concerned about. I've had several meetings with the sheriff and Alan Jones and other and our providers, some of our providers in Champaign. We are planning to bring Leon Evans in from Bexar County, Texas, San Antonio, Texas, And at this point, the sheriff and I have been have a tentative schedule worked out, and we just talked to Leon today to kind of nail things down. At this point, he's going to be arriving on the 22nd of April, and we would like to have him come to this meeting to give the board an opportunity to meet him and to talk with him. The following day, there'll be a meeting for, we're going to plan a large community meeting with anybody that has an interest in this topic. We're looking for a location now, but that would be in the afternoon of the 23rd. And then on the 24th, we plan to try to pull all the providers together and kind of look at what our system looks like and kind of compare that to what they've done in San Antonio and get his ideas about how we can weave something together. That'll be on the 24th. So I'm pretty excited about that. I think that'll be an interesting process, and it'll give the community firsthand information about an area where they have done a pretty good job on this issue. The other thing I'd like the board to be aware is that the county is in the process of doing two applications, grant applications. One is to the MacArthur Foundation, and the other is to the Department of Justice. And these are for planning grants related to the same issue. We kind of decided, though, since we don't know for sure whether we're going to get those grants or not, actually the DOJ grant will not be announced until, I believe, September. I think that the MacArthur Foundation grant could be available in May, as I understand it. But we decided that we wanted to push this along, and that's why we wanted to go ahead with the consultation with Leon Evans. But anyway, those things are going on at this point, so there's a lot of interest in this. We have agreed to provide match for this the proposal that's going into DOJ. At this point, I'm not sure what that match, whether it's going to be related to contracts or whether it's going to, we'll need to set aside money. But obviously, that'll be, as I will have that information for you by next month, and we can have that as part of our decision process in May for the next allocation cycle. So anyway, a lot of things are going on in that area at this point, and that's about all I have to say at this point.
Thank you very much, Peter. Staff reports. Let me just comment that I really like having the page numbers beside the reports. That helps me. Thank you.
Actually, that was Patsy's suggestion a couple months ago, so that's why I did it that way.
Well, good idea, and glad you did it. Thank you. Mark, page 11.
And it's one of the rare occasions it is only page 11. if you have any questions, I'd be happy to answer them. There were some other things that I was involved in, and actually Lynn and I, and she mentions it in her staff report, is we did participate in a meeting with on the consolidated plan that is being prepared by the cities of Urbana and Champaign. For more on that, you could just refer to Lynn's report. There were a number of other usual meetings that I participated in, but just thought I would keep it to the big items this time around. But if there are any questions, I'd be happy to answer them.
Are there any questions for Mark? Oh, Julian, yes.
Oh, I think you're referring to the section on amendments. Yeah, the amendments is that basically now that we're in this environment of with the Affordable Care Act and managed care and more people having insurance and so forth, we have grants that are out into the community where, for example, Community Elements will provide services to that individual, but not know whether or not the service will qualify for reimbursement through the managed care organization. So it'll be charged off initially to the mental health board. And then once they get a payment back from the managed care organization, that payment goes back in, you know, goes into their account. And they will reconcile that against what they've previously charged to the board, and then those savings accrue to the board. And what Deb was recognizing, I think, community elements for is that midway through this fiscal year, they have identified savings that accrue to the mental health board funding of about $24,000 through this reconciliation process. And so we're making an adjustment to our contract to reflect that that amount of savings that have accrued. Is that a fair description, or am I?
Hi, Sheila Ferguson from Community Elements. I think it's a fair description, Mark, and I think it is commendable of our staff to be able to find ways to help those in need get benefits in place, which is part of the work that was funded with Champaign County Healthcare Consumers as a subcontract with us, help get benefits in place quickly. And then the paperwork required for Medicaid reimbursement is extensive, and so the staff is also doing that. So I see it as kind of a win-win in terms of partnering with a Medicaid certified organization to be able to get that reimbursement and then see that returned or, you know, use as an amendment to grow programs. And so we're looking forward to doing more of it.
Thank you, Sheila.
Just one more question. Should we anticipate that there might be similar events occurring for other organizations that we're funding, or is this exclusively?
It may be possible that it also occurs with Prairie Center through their DASA contracts, but it depends on what our contracts are paying for and whether or not there are others, whether or not they're also billing Medicaid within that contract or you know, another fund source, insurance-based fund source.
Okay, it just occurred to me that we might want to alert the organizations we're funding in which that might occur to pay attention to that,
mm-hmm.
since it may be just that we had particularly alert staff who are being highly responsible, or maybe this is just automatic, but I doubt that, so.
Yeah. I think in some cases, and this was actually true with Community Elements, the same contract for FY14 also had excess revenue that accrued through this similar process, and that is also being paid back. And so normally what we would experience is that at the end of the year, as part of their financial reporting, they would show excess revenue that accrues to the mental health board funding, and then once an audit is complete and those numbers are finalized, they then pay that money back.
Okay. Thank you.
Sure. Those are excellent questions, Julian, and I appreciate that. And I think that is something we'll continue to look at. I actually prefer the approach that Community Elements has taken with the reconciliation process, as opposed to waiting for excess revenue in an audit at the end of the year.
Thank you. Are we ready to move on to Lynn's report? We are ready to move on to Lynn's report.
Do you have questions first? Because I do have three things to add.
I have a couple of questions. In the second paragraph under contracts, the last sentence, at mid-year, at least 449 unduplicated individuals have participated in at least one funded program. Does that mean one of our funded programs?
Right. This is a combination of both boards' efforts in DD. the combined investments of the two boards into DD.
Okay.
So it includes all the programs, not the young child serving programs and not the parent support networks, but the, it's not exactly adult services, it's just not very young children. So,
okay.
And I'm still waiting for some first quarter numbers to, so that I could, it might be more than 449, that's why it says at least 449, so.
In the last paragraph on that page, you've written about legislative concerns,
mm-hmm.
The Justice and Mental Health Collaboration Act. Mm-hmm. It extends funds, it increases crisis intervention teams. Is that in general throughout the state? Or?
No, that's from our National Legislative and Policy Conference.
Oh, okay.
That's one of the pieces of legislation that NACBIT and NACO supported when they went to the Hill.
Thank you.
So that is, it seems, everyone's top priority. So that's one of the additions that I actually wanted to make to this report, is that on Thursday and Friday of last week, so the report goes out, the staff report goes out before that. So I couldn't put it in there, but we had our ACMI quarterly meeting. That's the state association. And we also, so at that meeting, we, similar to this support, we moved to support House Bill 1566, which is introduced by, co-sponsored by Representatives Drury and Riley. So we're strongly supporting 1566. It's related to criminal justice mental health reform. We're also going to write a letter of strong support for the Governor's Commission on Criminal Justice System Reform. And the area of support that we're interested in is mental health services as part of a diversion from jail and prisons. So those are the, those were also the sort of top priority among the state association. So I think that's important for everyone here to know that these are, you know, these concerns are reflected, and we're doing what we can to support what we think is positive, productive legislation.
Thank you.
That's one of my additions.
Oh, sorry.
The other one is related to what Mark was just talking about with the relationship between Medicaid and managed care. I was on an ACMI subcommittee call this morning. We changed our name from the Medicaid Committee to Medicaid and Managed Care Committee, and there is a growing sensitivity to what happens to local funds in that environment. The members have agreed to start keeping track of that, and we'll make that a regular agenda item, whether it looks like services are being denied where they can be bounced to a local funder. So there's some sensitivity about, you know, where there's local funding, maybe it's being used when it doesn't need to be used. And that's happening in one community, so it came up as a strong issue. So we will take care of that. The third addition to my report is that the Ebertfest program ad that appears in here in my report, I wondered if it might be the final draft or not, and I wanted to let you guys know it's not. The final draft has some higher contrast text because we all thought this was not readable enough. So anyway.
Lynn's point about managed care and local boards, I think, is one of our members put it very succinctly. We want to make sure that local money doesn't become the profit for managed care companies. Yeah. And, you know, that's one of the things we're trying to figure out. Where does local money fit into the Medicaid managed care transition that is currently happening, and making sure that our money does not supplant other money, and that our money is actually the payer of last resort, which I think gives us some incredible opportunities. And you know, we'll be talking about that as this progresses.
I'm sorry, the third part of the resolution that we made on Friday with the State Association, so letters of support for the bill and for the Governor's Commission, but also we're going to offer up some members of the association to participate, with not as formal members of the Governor's Commission, but as observers, and to help coordinate some of those efforts, especially because they're going to break out by June into subgroups, which will include mental health.
Do we have any local people on the Governor's Commission?
Is it Judge Ford?
Yeah, I believe so.
Yeah.
Okay, good.
Mm-hmm.
He's a good one.
Mm-hmm.
No, nothing to add or change. Pete asked me to share with the board a little bit more about my work and our work as it relates to the community violence activities that are going on and taking place in the community. And so let me just try to do this shortly and succinctly. So I think there's hardly a day that goes by that we don't see on the news or in the newspapers some related violent-related activity, shooting, or calls for shots fired are tripled, what they've been over the past years. Last year, in both Champaign and Urbana, we've had our highest numbers of homicides from shooting-related activities. So while we're not unique here locally, a phone buzzed twice today with national shootings taking place across the country. And so our community is not immune, as is anywhere in the country, it appears right now, as it relates to violence. And so I am participating in probably 2 to 4 meetings a week with different parts of our community as it relates to the violence that's taking place in our community. And so we have a significant increase of young people involved in violence, shooting-related activities. What's most alarming about that, outside of the issue itself, is that the youth are becoming younger and younger. I think you might have saw in the paper, our state's attorney shared, I think we have 17 young people in our detention center that are involved in violence, gun-related activities. I think the detention center holds, 36 or 37. So 17 of the youth are involved in those kind of activities. And so with the youth, it is not traditional gang stuff as we look at it and think about it historically, but they do associate in groups and cliques, and they name themselves and things like that. So it's not traditional gang activity, but it's group-related activity. And so we are looking, so I've had a number of meetings with schools, police, community members as it relates to our youth. How do we disrupt this? How do we engage our young people, try to shift the course that they are headed in? And it's a complicated, complex issue within itself as we look at our youth and these activities. But that is taking place. I was in a meeting as recently as today, 2-hour-plus meeting with about 15 African-American members of our community, from the faith community, business community, the activist community, social service community, just talking about how and what we can do as a group to address this issue. So there are a number of things. I was in a couple strategy meetings with our police leadership last week, focusing on police strategy, tactics, how do we engage and disrupt, how do we not create a community under siege, but increase assertiveness or aggressiveness with policing to help disrupt some of these things. So Pete just asked that I share with the board that this is happening on a very intense level daily in our community, and it's quite a bit of my time on a daily basis has been spent just on violence reduction activities and violence prevention. And so whether it's through the coalition or whether it's through just my direct work, so I wanted to share with the board, we'll continue to update and provide information back to the board about this issue, so.
Thank you very much. Dolores, yeah.
So one of the hot topics is, are the business people in this community interested to offer jobs? Because that's always been a long-term deterrent to guns and crime for youth.
Well, this Champaign Schools in the City of Champaign has an active summer employment program for youth involved in through schools. There will be about 150 youth working through that program. I was in a meeting yesterday with City of Urbana Leadership Schools, city government, park districts, talking about the issue of summer jobs. So we will have a pilot project in Urbana this year. We won't have 150 young people. We'll probably have in the 30 to 40 range working summer jobs. And we also, through the coalition and a number of the groups that have formed, are looking at programs and activities outside of jobs for youth, making sure there's as much constructive programming and services and activities as possible to help get as many youth as possible involved in constructive activities. So that could be recreational, it could be through the parks and Boys and Girls Clubs types of things. I'm really excited about a project that we have. It's been developed first time this summer in a number of years with Campus Rec through the U of I. We're going to have about 50 young people engaging in a couple of times a week in the evening with creative programming. So it could be basketball one week, it could be broom ball. So we're going to have U of I students as the volunteers helping to coordinate the activities. Young people will come from, again, the park districts or Boys and Girls Clubs or through other organizations on campus for engagement activities with college students. So we have a number of things in the hopper that's happening as quick as we can to get them ready and up and running by the summer, but it's a dual piece. So on one hand, we want to have as many activities and preparing and engaging for the summer, but we've got to have some things happening right now to disrupt. I mean, if you think about, it was a week ago Monday, the police raided a house where there were 6 to 8 young kids, they're still kids in my eyes, between the ages of 12 and 16, on a Monday night at 9 o'clock at night. They're in a home, they're not at school, not at home, getting ready for school the next day. They're out in the community, in a home all together, where there was drugs and guns all in the home together. So it's a crisis situation. And so I hope you hear my, concern and what I'm sharing with you, my angst, all of that. But
I just had one other follow-up. When I looked at the youth assessment data that we got recently,
yes,
I was sort of surprised. I don't know what truancy looks like in Urbana, but for obvious reasons, I always notice what it looks like in Champaign. And with the kind of truancy that we have, how come the Youth Assessment Center is not really helping to address that? Because truancy, poor attendance, and all of that, kids are on the street when they should be in school. So what kind of partnerships are coming out of that need?
Well, we have a truancy committee in Champaign, not Urbana, but through Champaign Schools. The Assessment Center staff is part of that committee. And so they are engaged. You know, I think that's one of the areas that we need to strengthen with the Assessment Center is having that be a place once we get kids, we do a better job of getting them, understanding what's happening with them, and getting them connected to supportive needs, to supportive activities, or just increasing the supports. And so the Assessment Center is something that we built to help fill that niche. And so it's got to be more than a drop-off place for police. It's got to be a place that once we get them there, we're doing a better job of engaging and understanding. So, but the assessment center folks and staff is integral in what we're doing.
Okay, good. So in future times, I'll see more involvement with the truants, hopefully. Because on their data, they have it.
Well, truancy, by categories. Truancy is a key indicator. So obviously, the kids aren't in school, they're struggling in school. When they're out of school, this increases their opportunity to get into activities that we don't want them to be engaged in. So, how we strengthen truancy. So, the Champaign Schools has truant interventionists. We're working closely with them. We've got a number of activities planned to help engage with the families. So our Youth and Family Alliance organization that we set up, we are doing the peer-to-peer work with the families. So, you know, the reason kids are truant are they're multiple. And obviously, you know, for younger kids, it's the home situation. It becomes more about the kids once they get into high school. But
do you have any idea how many parents have been prosecuted because of truancy, the state's attorney?
I don't. I mean, we talk about that. The numbers are not that high. I mean, we don't want to. I think we want that to be a last result. I'll say it that way.
Yeah, but when you look at the dropout, I think it is the last resort sometimes now.
Tracy, I thank you for bringing this to us so that we can understand better what's going on in our community. Other than supporting you and the difficult work that you're doing, are there ways that we can contribute to solving the problem or resolving things?
Thanks for the question, because it is a all-inclusive community issue. You know, police can't solve it, schools can't solve it, we can't solve it from the social service end of the community in isolation. It really is about all of us coming together to support one another and support the activities and the services around what the family needs are. And so I think we will be bringing back to the Mental Health Board what those constructive things are that we might ask for.
Good, good. Julian.
I think I want to make a personal observation, and hopefully the other board members would agree with it. I think that we're extremely fortunate to have Tracy Parsons
yes.
as a part of our mental health board activities.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a perfectly good example of some of what I have in mind when I'm thinking that this is a community-wide problem, and it's a problem that's particularly pertinent to the African-American children in this community, and it involves mental health and criminal justice, and it involves raising children, and it involves all the kinds of things that we have an interest in. And so I guess I want to say I'm particularly proud of the fact that we're supporting this particular position, because I think Tracy's actually a person who's kind of uniquely positioned to make a positive contribution to this kind of activity. And there are darn few people in the formal mental health system processes who are as well positioned. And so I'm just really proud of the fact that we're supporting this work. And I want to say that out loud, and I hope everybody will agree with me.
Well, no pun intended, but I think it might have been about 7 or 8 years ago that this board decided that we wanted to support this work, Julian. Right? That's why we went for that grant.
Well, let me make clear what I'm saying here.
Well, it's not a new thing, but it's a continuing thing.
Right.
The support.
And I think it should be recognized by the county
yeah.
as a significant contribution to the well-being of people in this county, because it's quite easy to overlook it if you're not paying attention to this every day and to take it for granted. So I just want to call attention to it.
I agree 100%.
Yeah. Thank you. You said it well. And our record will show it. So we'll hear more from you again and again and again and again. And in between meetings, too, if you want. Okay? That would be helpful to us.
It'd be nice to not have something to report.
Okay. Thanks. Okay, moving ahead, are there any board-to-board reports? Have you had a chance to go to board meetings at your organizations? Yes, Dolores.
I had a great opportunity to go to the Promise Healthcare / Francis Nelson board meeting in February, and then I doubled back for their open house, and I have to tell you, Nancy Greenwald is doing a fabulous job, and she has a great board, and I think things are really going along in a way that this community can be really proud of. They're hoping to serve 10,000 people this year at Francis Nelson. There are over 9,000 at this point, so it's really kind of a great mission that they have going. I was really proud that we have such a jewel in this community to serve underserved people in the healthcare.
I agree that Francis Nelson Promise Healthcare is doing a good job, and I would add that having dental services is a huge benefit to the community. I'm just sorry that such a service is necessary, because it would be, in my opinion, much better if we had a whole integrated system where everybody could go everywhere. But it's still very piecemeal, and even with the improvement that we have with access to healthcare, it's still a very piecemeal system. So we'll just keep at it piece by piece until we get a unified system that really works for everybody, which would be the ultimate goal. But thank you.
Any other board-to-board reports?
Yes, I went to the Community Choices membership meeting where the families were all invited, and it was wonderful to see the sharing of information to meet the clients, to see the excitement for what is going on. And it really gave me an opportunity to be a better liaison, so I hope I'll have more involvement with them. They're a happy, helpful group, so I enjoyed it very much.
Great, that's a nice report to hear. Thank you, Judy. Any others? Oh, Anne.
Yeah, I haven't attended a board meeting yet, but I did have a good meeting with, I'm just blanking on your name. Even I've had a very stressful afternoon, I'm sorry, at Developmental Services.
Oh, Patty and Dale.
Dale Morrissey and Pat. I just had one of those brain things. We had a very good informational meeting, and I'm planning to be more involved. And in addition to Promise Healthcare and Francis Nelson being a jewel in the community, I've had a long affiliation with Developmental Services, and I think they're also a jewel in the community. Also, struggling to survive on
a dime
and a half or something. Yeah.
15 cents.
Thank you, Anne. Any other board to board? Julian. Try it.
It's the sort of thing that we're talking about. Okay. And I'm just going to report that I've continued to go as, both Lynn and Mark regularly attend the meetings between the various police departments. They've been meeting at Community Elements and discussing the crisis intervention training and the ways to facilitate the system with the kinds of concerns that we've heard of earlier. And so my observation is that our staff, as well as the police, are deeply involved in problem solving and trying to think about this and do cooperative things with the community. So I'm happy to report that.
Thank you. That's another good report. Appreciate it.
Our board's been busy, yeah.
Our board has been very busy. I like that.
Okay. May I add just one thing that I,
Anne, when she mentioned the SC, there it goes.
That Community Choices told me that they are partnering with DSC for some of their programs, and that to me is how you grow, is when you reach out to all the resources to pull it in. And I just felt all the way home, I thought, that is neat. I hope that happens a lot.
That's the kind of thing we think of when we think of system of care, which is our goal. Agency information.
I just wanted to mention something new, and I know this is an issue with the board in terms of marrying up or collaborating with primary care. Recently, we were able to increase Frances Nelson's time with us at our Walnut facility, and I think some of you know, we this year have had a nurse practitioner working across the hallway from our psychiatrist one day a week, and through some funding that we have in a Title 20 state grant, I've been working with Nancy, and we'll increase her time with us to 2 days a week beginning April 1st. So it allows people who have serious mental health conditions and primary care needs to be served in one location. It is by choice. People have the right to refuse, but for many people, it's the first time they will see a primary care person because they have trust in coming for their psychiatric needs, and so we're seeing some pretty amazing things. And so, again, kind of that idea of overall health and a holistic approach, and I know you mentioned collaborations, and we're pretty proud of working alongside of Frances Nelson and Nancy.
Great. Thank you, Sheila.
Hi.
Hi.
I'm Laura Bennett from Developmental Services Center, and I just have an exciting announcement to make to everybody and an invitation to extend. I wanted to make people aware of a movie that our prompting theater troupe has created in collaboration with Champaign movie makers and local actors. Our prompting theater typically does stage performances, but for the past 6 months or so, they've been working on a movie, and they have completed that. And the premiere is going to be Tuesday, August 21st at 7:30 p.m. at the Art Theater. It is a black tie event, so we are hoping that the community will come out and support us. The name of the movie is Who Stole My Hutu Futu Butu Ba? And that is... Okay, okay. Well, this is our adaptation based on Dr. Seuss. So it's going to be a lot of fun. And it was filmed in Champaign County at Parkland, at County Market, at Sleepy Creek Vineyard, some parks, and some cornfields. So anyway, that is Tuesday, April 21st. And then we also have a second showing on Saturday at the Art Theater. And that's Saturday, April 25th. At 12:30 p.m. So please come out and support us. April? Did I say August both times? April, excuse me, it is April. April 21st and April 25th.
Pretty soon.
Yes.
Well,
actually, we'll show it perpetually.
Will some of us be expected to wear long gowns?
Yes, please. I will be wearing some kind of dressy attire. I don't know that I have any long gowns, but those of us who come will make this an event. So the actors will be there, and they will be wearing black tie and gowns. So we're looking forward to it. Thank you.
Anne.
Oh.
Yeah, I just want to say I've had an affiliation with the Prompting Theater, I think, since the beginning, which it started as a circus. And if people haven't had the opportunity to see this, do people know what we're talking about, Prompting Theater?
Why don't you tell us?
It's at DSC, and It's several people from the community, one person in particular, who has a theater background and does really good theater with the, what do you call them, consumers?
Yeah, the individuals that we support.
And, yeah, really, yeah. The people yeah. that are at DSC. Yeah. So it's working with developmentally disabled people and able-bodied people and just odd people in general that like theater. And they've done some fabulous, fabulous shows. I think people go to it with the idea of, oh, this is great, we're supporting the developmentally disabled people. I disagree. I think it's great because it's really awesome theater. So I highly recommend that people check it out.
And I believe this movie will be a really wonderful event, and the individuals who participated are very excited about it, and I think it really showcases people's talents. Mm. So, thanks. Mm.
Thank you so much. Oh, good. Is there any other age? Oh, Bruce. Hi.
Bruce Lardini with Prairie Center. In the spirit of the kumbaya that we want to pass around all the good feelings about collaboration, I want to talk to you a little bit about a collaborative project that Prairie Center has been involved with in the last 8 months with Judge Ford. We've launched today that our starting date for the new med assistance program with the jail for people who are involved with opiate issues. It will begin April 6th. We will be having a press conference the week of the 6th. We'll invite the parties to come. And the collaborative parties that are involved in this project are Carl, who has put together about $83,000 for the medication, which is Vivitrol, for those people with opiate. The naltrexone really helps with the cravings effect. Judge Ford in the drug treatment court, the jail, Sheriff Walsh. We also have the pharmaceutical company, Alchemers, who is also contributing the first round of the medications as free samples out of this whole thing. So we have a good collaborative partnership here. It's money from the community rather than waiting for the state and waiting for federal monies to come in. We decided that we wanted to collaborate and get this off the ground. This is a pilot model through Judge Ford, and it will be for 6 months. We will probably having about 30 volunteer people who test positive for the opioids and fit the criteria for the program, go through the pilot project for about 6 months. So we feel very, very good about this as a collaborative model. And like I said, the press release will come somewhere in the week of April 7th. So on a downside of things, I just want to say, first of all, that Senator Bennett and Representative Ammons had a hearing last week on Friday evening. I was really surprised from 5 o'clock until about 8:30. That many people who had a lot of issues that wanted to be addressed were filmed. They're going to edit the comments that were made and give it to the governor. But my comments to both of them is that in the governor's budget proposal is that treatment dollars on the state of Illinois, which is about $53 million, he has proposed cutting 45% of those dollars. So it would be down to about $23 million. I got to tell you that when I took over as a CEO of Prairie Center in 2007, the budget was roughly $117 million in GRF for treatment. It's now at $53 million. And now they're proposing to take away another 45% of that money at a time when, you know, the safety net has eroded. People are in need of it. We're finding out that people are turning up at our jails and are turning up at the emergency rooms at high cost to do those kinds of services. We're not really getting the backing of our legislators, but I do feel very confident that the two people who have been elected have our ear. They're going to try to do the best they can. But I can tell you that in the budget for FY16 for us, for Prairie Center, that is a cut of about $400,000. And so we eliminated, twice now, I eliminated detox. I'm seriously having to take a look at how viable our residential program would be in this community. And if we close that, we are in a very serious crisis. So we wanted to make the governor aware. We're speaking out, and we're going to the very legislative caucuses and meetings, letting them know the devastation has occurred. So I hate to bring that news to you. We're all being scared from the budget process in the beginning, and we'll all feel a lot of pain before this all comes out. But that's the reality of his budget.
Well, Bruce, I guess we needed to hear that.
Yeah.
We don't want to hear it, but there it is. That's how things are right now. Thank you. Okay. Anybody else? Good news or bad, but we prefer, you know. All right. Well, let's move on then. A financial information, pages 26 to 36. If you've had a chance to look it over, I invite a motion to accept the claims report. Thank you. Who seconded? Thank you, Astrid. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? It is accepted. Thank you. On to new business. This is going to be interesting, I think, too. Are you ready, Dr. Rapoport?
I actually don't have much to report, but I can tell you that I met with the staff, and they are getting a process started, and we had a lot of conversation, actually. We met for a couple hours, and you'll be hearing more soon. I hope that what we're going to end up doing is making some sort of a proposal to for the board to get behind about evaluation and trying to make it systematic, and we have yet to work out. There's not anything to say at the moment because it takes a while to figure out how to do it, but we're making those steps, and I'm optimistic that we'll come up with something that will be interesting, and maybe with other people's input we'll be able to more systematically and consistently look at the an evaluation of the kind of the programs that we support, assuming we're not driven into bankruptcy by recent political events.
Just to add to what Dr. Rapoport, sorry about the spelling of your name, by the way.
We already discussed it. It's okay.
yeah, you do have good rapport. I was just going to say that we did had a conversation with Nicole Allen and Mark Aber from the University of Illinois. They are the people that are responsible for the evaluation, the extensive evaluation of the Access Initiative project. And we talked with them about whether they might have an interest in not only continuing to look at what we're doing with Access, but also to help us kind of sharpen up our consumer, the outcome information that we collect from agencies. And they had some ideas and are willing to work with us. And part of this is going to be working with the agencies that we fund to try to get their input. This is not a time to be dropping new things on people. And I think what we want to do is come up with, we fund a wide range of services. And it's kind of a complicated process to try to figure out standardized measures that cover the full range that we serve. And so anyway, that I just want to report to the board that we have another meeting scheduled, and we will certainly continue to work with Mark and Nicole to try to come up with a proposal.
Could I add more stuff about the state association? Because this is a concern of a lot of communities in Illinois. They're really feeling they need to deal with this now as well. That's going to be a training topic at our next two quarterly meetings of the State Association, and you are invited to attend those. The first one in June will be focused on performance outcomes related to DD services, and then we'll have a second topic around conflict-free case management, which is also more pertinent to DD services. And then in September, our guest speaker is Ron Manderscheid, the executive director of the National Association, and he'll be talking about performance measures. And he's very critical of this, of measure systems. So it'll be nice to see, and that's more focused on behavioral health. So
is there something in the plan to have agencies prepare for evaluations? Because if, you know, a lot of agencies are kind of small, so they may or may not be financially able to really do all the things that need to be done. So are we looking to tie that into their contracts? And
yeah, I think all of these efforts are related to what we ask of the agencies, okay, what we're requiring of the agencies, and whether it's relevant and useful, and how we and what else we could do with the data, right? I mean, that's kind of, that's been an interest for a long time, but now we're, you know, we've got some resources lined up.
So you have to have safeguards and also accountability, because if they fail to meet the mark, then we have to decide what happens.
Right, that's right.
Thank you. It's really good to know that this is in the works. I think we've needed something like this for quite some time, and Julian, you got it going, and thank you.
I'll just comment because of what Dr. Henry just said, that at least in my mind, and I think in the minds of the people who are starting to think about this now, we're all agreeing. I think it's probably not the thinking about evaluation as yes, no, you did a good job, you did a bad job, is not exactly what we're after. I think what we're after is the kind of evaluation that leads to feedback. So this is what you're doing well, this is what's not going so well, how might you shift resources to do things better? I think that's the idea of the evaluation that we all want to go after, rather than a kind of, everybody should be nervous now because this is punitive. It should be helpful.
Well, it's not punitive, but everybody in this room knows that the rubber hits the road at some point, you know. So you can just...
But we believe everybody can improve,
yeah,
including ourselves.
You can only give that get on board speech so many times until finally you know what happens.
Okay, we'll look forward to another report, what, next month? Or is that too soon, Julian?
A couple months.
A couple months?
I think I'll defer to the staff's feeling.
We will report back what's going on next month.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Good.
No problem.
I'd like to keep on track with this. Like to be sure it's moving. I mean, I'm sure it will be, given who's involved in doing it. Okay. Should we move on to the issue of multi-year funding? Who would care to present that?
Just, I think that we've had a number of agencies that have mentioned that they thought it would be helpful if we went to a multi-year funding, and that is something that is possible. And all I'm going to say at this point is that the board, when we make our funding decisions in May, if that's that would be the time to talk about if you want some contracts to be two-year contracts instead of one-year contracts. It's really, the board can do anything it wants related to this. There's nothing in the statute that prohibits us from doing multi-year contracts.
There's nothing to prohibit it, but just because an agency wants it, it shouldn't be automatic, right? There has to be some rationale for it.
Well, all I can say is that, you know, we will do the same as we've done in the past. Staff will make recommendations, and if the board would like to see a multi-year contract, you can do it.
Except we're not in a position to make that decision. We would have to have some guidance on the merits of it.
Mm-hmm.
And it wouldn't apply in all cases either.
When we do the funding recommendations, I will make sure that we mention if we think that any should be multi-year.
Okay.
I will include that as part of the process.
Good. Moving ahead. Now, the issue of late applications. I think we had three late applications. Is that correct?
Mm-hmm.
And we are asked to decide what to do about those, whether to accept them or not, and probably to establish a policy about late applications. Would you like to talk about it?
Well, I think it would be good to have a, if we could have a motion and a second, and then we can go into discussion.
Okay.
That might be the best way to move this along, because we are approaching the witching hour.
Well, I move to approve acceptance of applications received from Don Moria Boys and Girls Club, the Autism Society, and United Cerebral Palsy for consideration for FY 2016 funding.
Is there a second?
Second.
Thank you. Discussion.
I'll just give you a little bit of an overview. We had a couple of agencies that are relatively new to us that didn't fully understand that they had to reapply. And that's not, I don't think that's a good excuse, but that is the excuse. Another one, we had a situation where the executive director of the agency had was in the hospital, had surgery. So I'm not thinking that this should be a policy question, because, I mean, I think this is, we should probably make a decision as to whether we accept these incumbent programs, the applications this time. And, I'm inclined to say we should, but we probably need to really make it clear next year that this is, we're not going to do this anymore.
Island.
That we will not accept, and isn't it in the boilerplate that we will not accept late applications? I mean, I think
we have made exceptions in the past.
Okay.
We've accepted them in the past.
But
it's the board's discretion.
I just feel that there are agencies that submit multiple applications to us that are all due at the same time. And there are also agencies that submit multiple applications to multiple funders that are all due at the same time. And I think it's unfair to them if we say that, it's okay if you don't get it in on time to some people and not others.
I don't think we would ever say that it's okay to get to be late with your application. I think this is very much an exception situation where we understand circumstances. It isn't okay, and it wouldn't be okay another year from these same people or agencies. Is it yes?
Very strongly that we will not accept this in the future.
Right.
This is a one-shot deal.
Yep. Yep. Noted. Yeah. Anybody else? Ready to vote? All in favor of making the exception, or all in favor of the motion as Dolores expressed it?
Need a roll call?
Yeah.
Oh,
okay.
Do we do?
No.
I don't think so.
Okay.
It's not our money. I mean, it's, yes.
The motion is
to approve acceptance of applications received from Don Moyer's Boys and Girls Club, the Autism Society, and United Cerebral Palsy for consideration for FY16 funding.
Yes, Julie.
Sure.
A friendly amendment. A friendly amendment, sure.
Yeah, I guess what I wanted to do was incorporate into it what Astrid just said. I don't remember exactly how she said it, but I think it's important that we include in this approval of these as exceptions that we are not changing our policy.
That this is an exception and it won't be available ever in the future for these agencies.
Yeah, I just want to
But how many agencies do we have?
Three.
No, oh. These it's three this time, but next year is three more. And
right, we have lots of agencies, so I'm not exactly sure how to accomplish both.
Right.
So I understand I'm not opposing this approval. I just want to make sure, because I think it's advisable for us to emphasize just what Astrid had to say about it.
I agree. So maybe
that gets worded, I'm not sure how
maybe it could be in the letter. Peter says he already told these people that it's our decision, and it's not probably going to happen anymore. So maybe when they notify these agencies, they can put a little caveat in their postscript or something. Don't ask anymore because it won't happen.
Well, do you want to put something in the motion?
What I'm concerned about is less about these agencies, which I'm sure could get that message quite directly, but since this is a public body and it's a public meeting and these are public funds and we have public rules, I just don't want to be backed into a corner and the next time some other agency, maybe a bigger one, I don't know who.
But if that be the case.
Well, you obviously, you've had done this before, so why not do it now?
Well, if that be the case, then we probably shouldn't do it at all for any agency.
Well, we can add the language that Astrid suggested. We can add the language that Astrid suggested if you would like to add, I mean, if we want to add that to the motion. Mm-hmm. And we will send a letter that is very clear that this ain't happening anymore.
It's not happening for any agency or just these agencies. That's the point I think you're trying to make, right?
Maybe the best thing to do about that is to simply say
this approval does not imply or create a new policy with respect to application deadlines.
Good. That says it.
I like that.
So that's incorporated into the motion. Very good. Okay.
Did you get that, Stephanie?
It does not imply, yeah.
You want me to repeat what I said? You think I can remember what I said?
Any opposed, please?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. One, two, three.
How many do we have?
Raise your hand.
Please raise your hand if you.
Let's do a roll call.
A roll call for the record. Astrid Bergson?
No.
Eileen Danavy?
No.
Dolores Henry?
Yes.
Judy O'Connor?
No.
Julian Rappaport?
Yes.
Ann Robin?
Yes.
Deborah Townsend?
Yes.
4-3.
4-3.
Passes.
Wow. Doesn't get closer than that.
But they get.
Go ahead. We have some correspondence to share.
Yeah. There's a letter in your packet that had to do with a presentation that was done by regarding the Youth Assessment Center. I sent a letter to the county board chair, and I wanted you all to be aware of that, which essentially adds some information that was missing from the presentation. If you have any questions, I'll be happy to answer those. And then we're going to be talking about the memorandum of understanding at Astrid's committee meeting, which will be on March 26th. Right. And So anyway, that's, if anybody has any questions, I'd be happy to answer them, but it's for your information.
Thank you, Peter. That was a very helpful letter. Any old business? Let's see. Alliance for the Promotion of Acceptance, Inclusion, and Respect. An oral report.
Yeah, there is a little bit of news. I'll really keep it short. We have a film. We found out at the end of last week that we have a film. It's called Girlhood. It's a French film. You can find information about it online, but it's not available. You know, there's no place that I could download it. So anyway, there is interest from one of the school districts in hosting a screening for youth. So we're working on that. Mary Susan Britt from the festival has offered to help coordinate that. So we're just at the beginning of discussing that. We're also at the beginning of putting together a panel discussion. Don't know even whether that'll be on Thursday or Friday of the festival, but we can start thinking about who would be interested in doing it now that we know the film. So,
is it in English?
Nope.
You can do it.
Subtitles.
You can do it.
No subtitles.
Yeah.
Thank you, Lynn. Next, I'll just call your attention to the report by Barb Bressner, the report on the Expo, Resource Expo. Is there any other old business? Okay, are there any board announcements? Well, then, I think we can just agree to adjourn, can't we? Do we have? We don't have to have a motion.
No.
This meeting is adjourned. Thank you.
We will reconvene at 6 o'clock for the Developmental Disabilities Board meeting, which is in about 5 minutes.
Good meeting.